Good afternoon, Muskegon. It's March 23rd, 2023. This is Torn in Two, your show for news, information, and more. Hi, I'm your host, Gregory T. Roberts. Pastor Melvin Burns is representing us down in Lansing. And let me say this real quick. I was blessed to be down at the Breslin Center 3 times in a row with West Michigan Christian, and to be down there and play games. And I got my gear on, my Muskegon gear. I pray that these guys really get a chance to enjoy that time down there. It's a once-in-a-lifetime experience. And congratulations for them getting this far. But we pray that they will go one game. They got to win today. That game is on at the 2 o'clock. And then whoever wins plays is going to play Cass Tech, who just won in overtime. I have to say something before I introduce our guests. And, you know, I've been talking this over with people and stuff like this. Why are we doing this? Why are we talking about all these hard topics? And the thing is because nobody is. And the thing is that when you deal with these things, either you can put your head in the sand or you can deal with it and talk about it and get some knowledge, or you can do like other states have been doing. For instance, there's several states that are trying to get slavery off the history books because it makes them feel bad or makes them feel uncomfortable. Wait a minute. First of all, isn't history history? And two, if it makes you feel uncomfortable, how in the heck do you think it makes us feel? Racism is a real problem. Racism is, matter of fact, growing. You think a lot of people say, well, you know, it's dying off. No need to bring it up because our kids, we weren't there and all this kind of stuff. It is a problem. And we're going to talk about it on all angles. We started last week. We had talked at Big Rob. I want to thank him for coming on the show to talk about the conversations that we have to have with our children that normally people don't have to have. Today, we have a good friend of mine. Actually, he's a father role to me years ago when a lot of people were looking for other people as role models. I could look to this guy who spoke knowledge and wisdom, told us to stay out of trouble because we were some brats. But he fathered us, and I want to thank him for that. I want you to put your hands together for the Honorable Brother William C. Muhammad. How you doing, sir?
Thankful to be alive each and every day, brother. Greetings to you, and whatever comes at me in form of praise, I always have to say praises belong to Almighty God for anything that I've done is of a positive nature to whoever, whatever, and wherever.
Would you tell people a little bit about yourself?
A very little bit.
Okay.
Born and bred here in Muskegon, was away for a while for college. Basically, I spent pretty much half my life in the city of Muskegon Heights and half of it in the city of Muskegon. So I'm truly a more or less native of this area. And graduated from Muskegon Heights High School and involved in a lot of different activities here in the city and regionally too, as a matter of fact. Joined the Nation of Islam officially in 1981 under the leadership of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And in my mind, that's something that helped save my life, both spiritually and physically. And married a sister in the nation, Sister Kathleen, whom you remember well. And we shared a family and enjoyed life together for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
Passed in April of 2021. We pray Almighty God is pleased with her. Down through the years, there have been many things that we've been involved in, protests about violence in the community, protests about police murdering black men in the community, in this community, mm-hmm. and places.
Mm-hmm.
And looking at all of the other things that we've been involved in, we were honored and privileged to be among those, my wife and myself, to organize efforts here in Muskegon to go to Washington, D.C. for October 16, 1995 for the Million Man March, which proved to be very successful. Undoubtedly, the largest assembly of men in Washington, D.C. in the history of this country. And we've done many, many things. Present, am working with the James Jackson Museum of African American History in Muskegon Heights. Am the board chairman and the president of that institution. Work with the Citizens Police Review Board in the city of Muskegon. Work with the Muskegon Heights, Friends of the Muskegon Heights District Library. Involved in several other organizations. Hey man, I'm a busy guy, I'm this old.
Man, a true advocate for Muskegon and Muskegon Heights on issues that needed to be taught and talked about and dealt with. And so we thank you for what you have done in the past and what you continue to do today. I asked you to come in today to talk a little bit about the history and break this thing down to us, why we should be having these conversations about racism. So with that said, I'm going to let you start. And then as questions come in, which, you know, here's the thing. People, if you have a question, you can reach us at 103.7 The Beat or M106 Facebook site, or you can go to our YouTube site. If you missed the show, say you're driving and you want to see the show, excuse me, you can go back because our shows air, they continue to air. One thing I've noticed, Brother Will William, is that nobody seems to want to talk about these issues. It's like it's happening in my house or it's happening, but I don't want to deal with it. And I've been quite amazed, or it's been, I'm uncomfortable with it. But why don't we leave it alone? But it still exists.
Excellent point. Basically, things are being played out in the media and in real life and in real time on a regular basis that deal with the racism and race component and white supremacy. But a lot of times those terms are not used in describing them. We see it on television, we see it on social media, we see it in a lot of different places. But at the same time, the construct known as race, which has led to racism, is not really, as you said, is not really discussed, because many people will say, oh yeah, I know what racism is, but they really, really don't. And to have an understanding of it, you have to understand where the term race came from.
Mm-hmm.
It was something that was implemented and thought of by Europeans in such a way to differentiate themselves from other members of the human family. And in many ways, in such a way to make themselves seem to be superior to other members of the human family. One thing I recently read said that one of the people who put the term race together and that format came up with different terminologies, Negroid, Mongoloid, Caucasian. And basically the Caucasian or the white people, he felt as though the people who were from the Caucasus Mountains in Russia had the most beautiful skull, and that's why he chose the name Caucasian for white people.
Mm.
And it's a whole lot more to be discussed, but in reality, where we are now in the history of this country and the history of the world, it has been stated the number one problem is the treatment and ill treatment, the terrorism that continues to afflict and affect we as Black people here in this country known as the United States of America. And until something is done to correct this problem, to make things equal across the board, to level the playing field, America is going to continue to have these type of problems. We will end up being the recipients of all the ill treatment, the lynching, the murder, the rape of this system of white supremacy that is in control of this country and basically in control of the world.
Well, a lot of people will say, and I brought that question up and said it earlier. A lot of people say, well, it don't exist. Or point number two, they like to say is that, well, I didn't benefit from it like slavery and stuff. So what's the use of why do we need to learn about that?
Well, listening to that, it kind of makes me, I won't say chuckle, but it is a bit humorous. No, your foreparents may not have been directly involved in the slave trade and the ownership of human beings as chattel property, working them can't see morning, but can't see dark without paying them for their labor. You may not have felt as though you benefited directly from it, but it's as was said about the O.J. Simpson trial. In talking about many people, what happened in that scenario was that they came after OJ after he had been found, I won't say innocent, I'll say found not guilty in the trial. They came after him in the civil case. So what it amounted to was that, no, you weren't guilty of the crime of which you were accused, but you did benefit, therefore, coming after you in civil court, and they won in civil court. So that's pretty much the same scenario, situation we have in talking about those who say that they didn't benefit from it. No, you did benefit from it, because basically a large part of the economy, if not all of the economy of the United States, was built on the backs of Black folks who worked for nothing for well over 400 years. Or our time of slavery was well over 400, a time of involvement in this country was well over 400 years, basically around 465 years, and in chattel in slavery for well over 300 years. So the industries that came up, the steel industry, cotton king, and they used to refer to it as king cotton down south, gave a tremendous boost to the economy of the United States, moved the United States from a position of being a relatively new country that came to existence as a country in the 1770s to where it is now the top economy in the world, the top, we'll say, have more military might than any other country in the world and express more influence than any other country in the world. So yes, those who say they didn't benefit need to understand and study the history to see where they have benefited from the free labor of Black people.
Okay, so you see right now in several states and a lot of states where they're trying to get rid of this, and the thing is that my thing is history is history, but you're trying to whitewash history, and that benefits no one. What is your opinion over that?
Have you got enough time in a day?
Oh, we got time, and okay. We got to 3 o'clock, and if I have to bring you on next week, we'll do that too.
Yeah, well, bottom line is, as I heard the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan to say, what we refer to as Black history really is a story of Black people and the history of white people. I can remember being in class at Muskegon Heights High School in American history class. And when it got to the Civil War, talking about slavery, the part about slavery was maybe two pages, maybe a page and a half. And it didn't go any, just, it wasn't even on the surface of it. Actually, it was more of an attempt to put lipstick on a pig, but it was a very small pig because they really didn't want to hear too much about it. Because if you hear about all of the tragedy that went on in slavery, if you hear about all of the inhuman activity of the slave trader, the slave maker, and the slave master, and those who benefited from all of the labor, that the free labor that was put in, then yes, people will feel bad. Because basically the truth does hurt. We're talking about true history. We're talking about true world history. The history of Black people is really the history, is really world history. Because if we look at that and go into it a little bit deeper in another direction, what we see is that whenever they begin to resume the search for the oldest human beings on the planet, they don't go to Russia. They don't go to Europe. They ultimately end up on the African continent, and that is where the oldest remains of the human family have always been found. So the bottom line is, as either Newsweek or Time Magazine in the 80s talked about, the beginning of the human family, the progenitor of the entire human family was a Black woman. I believe they called her Sally.
Mm-hmm.
Out of the entire race of human beings on this planet Earth, it all began with Black people. It all began with a Black woman. So whoever you are, wherever you are, wherever you're from, whatever you call your country of origin, you came out of us as a people. So say the anthropologists, so say the social scientists, those who study these type of things. We're talking about white people who study these type of things. They have said that, they don't say it loud, they don't say it often, but you dig into it, you will find that that is indeed the truth of where everybody came and who and what their origin is.
Talk a little bit about how the 400 years plus.
Yes, sir.
400 years plus.
Mm-hmm.
Has affected, it still affects us today, of snatched from a country, brought over in ships, a lot of people drown. Like you said, it's one page, maybe a page and a half.
Yes, sir.
Of the suffering that happened, but the suffering that continues to happen in the mind, because some people will say, well, can't you guys get over it? I'm going to tell you a little story.
Yes,
we tried to sell our house in our neighborhood. In our neighborhood, when a house goes up for sale, people buy it within 3 days cash value. I mean, when we were trying to sell our house, we were told by the realtors to take down pictures,
mm-hmm.
to put that stuff away.
Yes, sir.
And people don't want to see that, and your house will sell. And we ended up having to sell our house cheaper than anybody else have ever done in our neighborhood.
Yes, sir.
So I say that because people just don't understand that how deep this racism thing goes.
It's indeed, slavery has been called the original sin of the United States of America. I'm presently looking at the cover of a book by Dr. Joy DeGruy. It says traumatic slave syndrome, which directly talks about what you were talking about, America's legacy of enduring injury and any potential healing that may be able to come. Understand the situation that you talked about with your home. That is an excellent example of much of the reality of how Black folks live, and in terms of attempting to gain a house or sell a house. I recently saw an article that talked about a Black family that was attempting to get their house assessed in terms of how much it could sell for, and the amount came back as being well below what they thought it should be. So they had a Caucasian go in and pose as the owner of the house to the real estate people, and it came back at a much higher value. And that pertains directly to what you were talking about in terms of you ended up selling a house at a much lower value than it should have been sold for. But as J. Anthony Brown, who used to be on the Tom Joyner show, used to say, that's some of the racism in effect, and moving on. But America still remains, as some people say, the most racist country on the planet. And it's always talking about equality around the world and how other people are treating those people who reside in those particular countries. But at the same time, we have events such as what we featured on the Final Call newspaper on the cover of it, talking about Michigan murdered in Mississippi, a young Black man named Rasheem Carter disappeared near a small Mississippi town. His dismembered remains were found less than a month later in a wooded area. His family went 4 months before what remained of his body parts were made available to them. And a full investigation is demanded on how he died and who was responsible for this death. That's a very, very tragic story and a reminder. I'll say this. Have you heard of Mr. Rasheem Carter?
I have not.
Okay, it's just now starting to come to light. And this is something that occurred in November. He was a skilled worker, and he was from Mississippi. He was working in a small town of, I think it was Taylorville or Taylor, Mississippi, which has been described as a sundown town. You know what a sundown town is?
Oh, definitely know what a sundown town is.
That's right.
And their sundown towns up here in Michigan.
That's right. That's right. Exactly right. Sundown towns exist in Michigan. Those of you who are interested in that, look up sundown towns and get your definition from that, if they dare to put it in there in a truthful way. So we have this young man, and then after that, it was another young man who was brutally slain. And it is believed or suspected that the sheriff, anyway, I'll just tell some of the story. He was in this town and he was working for this particular company, and he had a disagreement with someone who he was sharing a motel room with, another coworker.
Mm-hmm.
And he ultimately ended up calling his mother. He was in a town that was basically 30 miles away from Taylor, Mississippi, or Taylorville, Mississippi. I'm not sure which. Not sure about that at the moment. But his vehicle broke down, and he was on the phone with his mother, and his mother told him to go to the police station. He gets to the police station, explains the situation, and they tell him that they're not a cab service, and they didn't feel any need to assist him and turn him away. That was the last time he was seen.
Mm.
And he had told his mother that there were three truck pickup truck loads of white men who had been following him around, appeared to be menacing him, and he felt very threatened and believed that violence was something that could occur. So his remains were found out in the woods in Mississippi. And ultimately, attorney Ben Crump got involved with this case, and which brings some national notoriety to it. But again, this is one of those situations where a young black man is killed. No one is, at this point in time, an investigation may have been begun, but to my knowledge, it has not. And Mr. Crump, Attorney Crump, was calling for the federal government to get involved in this particular investigation in Mississippi. So many times, there are so many incidents of black people being killed, murdered, and I'll throw this in here too. Too often, as a result of our being enslaved and up from slavery, our mentality is such that we really don't care about ourselves and who we really are. And sometimes we're so filled with hatred, as we saw in the incident in Memphis, Tennessee, when at the beginning of it was five black police officers brutally beat a young man, ultimately he died in the hospital. So our own culpability needs to be brought to the front too. But at the same time, it's not the situation where we as a people are immune from getting murdered, lynched, and so on. There's a book called 100 Years of Lynchings that people can look up. It's available on Amazon, as is Dr. George DeGruy's book. And another book, Two Nations, Black and White, Separate, Hostile, and Unequal by Mr. Andrew Hacker, also available on Amazon, written in 1992. It talks about the state of America and how it really is. It's really two nations, one black, one white, one much better off than the other, one being brutalized by the other, and the white portion of the nation continuing to do those things to keep and afflict and terrorize black people wherever we are, no matter what we are. And so the overview of this entire thing about the race situation is such that it may take Almighty God himself to bring about a change in what's going on in this world today. And I know I've gotten away from the topic.
It is so much, because when you were talking about the you know, realtor and getting to their house,
yes,
I'm not getting the right dollar amount. Mm-hmm. That happened to me several times.
Yes, sir.
Where other houses were appraising for much more, but the people that they were bringing in to appraise my house, it was always much lower than anybody else.
Yes,
so
sir.
This is happening, and I'm not talking about 1 year or 5 years. I mean, 5 or 10 years. I'm talking about 3 years ago.
Yes, sir. The
second thing I want to talk to you about is that, you know, you were talking about Mississippi and the other place, that people don't understand that when it comes down to hate states,
yes,
and Michigan is number three.
I recently saw that. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I want to say it again. People, when they think about hate and think about all this kind of stuff, well, that's a Southern problem. No, it's a United States problem.
That's
Michigan,
right.
Where we live, is number three in hate groups, militias, and all that kind of stuff. Yes, your neighbor could be a member of a hate group. The third thing that I want to talk about, when you said God, which Almighty God, which I love, and all the glory goes to him.
Yes, sir.
But Martin Luther King said Sunday is the most discriminated day.
Exactly.
How can that be?
Well, if we look at that, if that wasn't a rhetorical question, brother, in truth, a whole lot of very many, if not all of those who were involved here in this country were calling themselves Christians. I can remember distinctly a movie, 12 Years a Slave, something along that line, and still the image of this Caucasian sitting in front of some black children with a little black girl on his lap, and he's got on a nightshirt while his little black girl sits on his lap reading from the Bible to these black children. that so offended me, and it was so symbolic of, I think Martin Luther King pointed out that 11 a.m. on Sunday is the most segregated time of the week, if I remember correctly.
And continues to be,
no doubt about it. The view of how all of these things come together is such that Michigan, yes, is one of the top states in terms of hate groups. I think when Barack Obama was elected president, the number of hate groups increased, I'll say, tenfold. It was down in the hundreds, and it became up at least to 1,000, 1,500 mark. And it continues to grow and morph and evolve into many different directions, to the point where these members of these particular militia, so-called militia groups, felt comfortable in going to the United States Capitol on January 6th, a couple of years ago, and involved with a lot of other people whose mindset appeared to be that of white supremacists, to overturn the election of President Joe Biden, legally elected as president, with one of the best rates of correctness in all of the voting that took place. And there continues to be a murmur, a rumor, not so much a rumor, but a murmur. And some people still say that election was still a false election. And the mindset of white superiority is such that at this moment in time in history, it is believed that some Caucasians feel as though they're being their position of authority, their position of power, their position of privilege, and we have heard of white privilege before. Look that one up too. Is being threatened in such a way that they feel as though they have to, as their champion, Donald J. Trump said, we have to take back our country. Well, okay, you basically took the country from the native of the country when you came here. And so to call this your country is kind of disingenuous, we'll say.
Mm-hmm.
But you have claimed that, along with claiming the narrative of being those who control how history is written, how history is taught, how the whole scenario is played out. I can think about the cowboy and Indian movies from times gone by, and how the Indians normally viewed as the bad guys, cowboys, the cavalry viewed as the good guys, and ultimately, John Wayne and the fellas won.
Mm-hmm.
And that mentality plays out right down to this day. But what we have is subtle and sometimes not so subtle change in how the game is played. But it's still a game. It's a game of life and death. And it's also a game in which black folks are being terrorized on a daily basis. So I go back to Dr. Joyce DeGruy talking about post-traumatic slave syndrome. She said the one thing that has not occurred in our so-called being freed from chattel slavery is that we never have had any type of clinical therapy treatment, any type of group psychotherapy, any type of assistance, much of the mental illness that we still retain right down to this day from the legacy of slavery. Slavery was historically, that was slavery before this chattel slavery in the United States, but it has been said that the chattel slavery in the United States is the worst form of slavery in the history of the world. We as a people were snatched from the continent of Africa, placed into the holds of ships, brought to really into what's called at one time called the West Indies because Christopher Columbus thought he had found India. Wrong. Now called the Caribbean. This is where, to just go into a little bit more, they talk about 1619, but we're taught that the actual year of Black folks coming to this hemisphere was really 1555. And if you subtract 1555 from 1619, you get 64. Mm-hmm. And in 64 years, what you have is they used to have a program on TV, the $64 question, the $64,000 question, way back in the 50s and the 60s. Not too many people will remember that. But the question amounts to what happened in those missing 64 years, because Black people torn from the continent of Africa did not come here as slaves with a slave mentality. We had to be made into slaves. And we are taught, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us that we were taught and made into slaves in those missing 64 years. And when we began to be brought to America, North America, South America, wherever we were, into those islands in the Caribbean, many of us had been turned into slaves, understanding that our names had been taken away, our religions had been taken away, our family structure had been taken away. We got to the point where we looked at the slave owner as our father, symbolic father, because we were getting everything from him. Though we were getting no monetary value, we were getting food of some type. As has been said years ago, white people ate high off the hog, and Black folks ate low off the hog, down to the pig feet and the guts of a pig. And we being who we are, such an innovative, ingenious people, we turn many of these things into what we call soul food. Even though, as I was talking to a young man yesterday, he said that he had stopped eating pork. Pork is one thing that definitely raises the blood pressure of us as a people. We find ourselves, whereas one time we were at the bottom of the list and many of the diseases and afflictions that afflict the human family, now we are close, much, much, much closer to the top in terms of high blood pressure, diabetes, cancer, heart issues, you name it. We are close to leading the lead in many of these categories. And this whole subject is such that where we are now, it's at a point like they talked about, we'll go to the Rodney King incident when he was severely beaten, and it was on video. They looked like they were taking turns. He was trying to crawl away, but he took turns beating him with batons and whatever else they could put their hands on. And these particular police officers were found not innocent, but they were found not guilty. And this precipitated a very unexpected eruption in the Black community that the media wanted to term a riot, but really was a explosion of the dissatisfaction and the belief that they should have been found guilty, and they weren't, and the shock and the awe term from the past that this brought into the community caused an eruption or a rebellion of Black folks in the Los Angeles area that was heard around the world. And so we see this many times. We saw it with Mr. George Floyd. We've seen it in many different occasions. The murder of Mr. Emmett Till from Chicago down in Mississippi again is such that when we talk about Mr. Rasheem Parker, his situation is analogous to what happened to Mr. Emmett Till at that point in time. And Mr. Carter's mother also wanted the photos of her son's dismembered body, head cut off, spine severed. Parts not found, all types of things going on.
Well, and here's the thing. is that we talk about one/two, but these are actually over incidents over and over and over and over again. Just a body just found just recently in Muskegon Heights.
Yes, sir.
So we're not talking about just one incident. We're talking about many incidents that are happening throughout the country. Brother William, I wanted you to talk a little bit about the self or the lack of love of ourselves because of years of history or years of breakdown in the family or years of all this, that us as Black people have a lack of love or respect of ourselves or each other.
What pops into my mind really is one of the many legacies of slavery is that our history and our knowledge of where we really came from and who we really are, for many of us, begins here in this country. We have generally no idea of a history as it pertains to whatever area of the motherland we came from. And so we begin to try to put together things and make ourselves proud of little things, but at the same time, if we really don't know who we really are, away from our actual root, not what we have been taught here in this country, not from the lies that have been told about us, not from the Jim Crow era, not from the many manifestations. I'm thinking right now of the Jim Crow Library of the Ferris State University, which really is a very much an educational thing that if anyone can make it up at a Ferris State, and I think they have had a traveling exhibit in the past that I saw at Stephen Community College. We have been taught to be other than ourselves. And we have been taught in such a way. I go to the Willie Lynch letter, in which Mr. Lynch, a slaveholder, was talking to many of his fellow slave owners, and he described ways in which we could keep Black people separated, keep us at each other's throats. He say always exacerbate or always make worse the difference between older Black people and younger Black people, between the lighter Black folks and the darker Black folks as slaves, the tall ones and the short ones, religious differences, any type of difference can be exacerbated, and to instill in us a very, very, very serious love of them as a people and hatred for us as a people, because as has been said in the original Constitution, we were considered to be 3/5 of a human being without a spirit and one other element that would continue to with that combined to help make up a whole human being. So we've been taught to hate ourselves down through the years, and in that self-hatred, I think it was epitomized in the conduct of the 5 officers in Memphis, Tennessee, in which they beat this young man, Tyree Nichols, to the point of his dying in a hospital. I think the epitome is also how we don't care about, if I don't care about you, brother, if I don't love you, and the reason I don't is because I don't love myself.
Right.
If I don't love myself, then how am I going to care about you or love you? So we suffer from this post-traumatic slave syndrome right now to this day. This is why it's so easy for young Black people, particularly young Black males, to pick up a pistol. Oh yeah, how did all these pistols get into the Black community when we as Black people don't make guns, don't make bullets? Oh, okay. Another question that needs to be thrown out there. And at times we become our own worst enemy, because others don't have to be present among us for us to continue to do negativity to our own self. This is one of the areas that we must work on. We have to discover and read up on in the proper books, which would give us the proper understanding of who we really are, so that we can begin to develop a love of self and caring for self. So if I care about you and I love you, then I'm not going to do anything to hurt or harm you. And if I care about you and if I love you, what I'm going to be found doing is to be found caring for you and yours, caring for you and your family, caring for you and your children. So your children would be like my children. Your family would be like my family. And so I would stand up to protect you. I would stand up to assist you. I would be there if you need me. I'd be there if you don't need me. It's all about how we as Black folks come together in an understanding of who we are.
Mm-hmm.
Many times people say that if we begin to try to learn how to love ourselves and learn who we really are, that we're moving into a direction that says that we don't like white people. Well, we, number one, charity begins at home, and we should be found learning how to care and love ourselves. Since the Bible says we're created in the image and likeness of Almighty God, we should be like our Father, Almighty God, who is a loving spirit, who is a powerful spirit, who is the creator of everything in sight and hearing on this planet and any other planet.
Mm-hmm.
The universe that we live in. So if we, again, back here, we are those first human beings created by Almighty God, then we need to get back to that, number one, as a group that we can use to begin to learn more about our history, our legacy, who we are, what we can become, what our family structure should be, what our education should be, because the educational system, the media, and many other institutions in this country has helped, not helped us to become a better people, they have helped us to be down to almost underneath the ground where we are right now to this day.
Right. So it's 2:48, and I'm going to put you in one of these, I'm going to throw you a softball pitch. How... Like you said, we need to, you know, go back to family and God, okay?
Yes,
but what are some of the things to turn this thing around that we can do to help as a people to deal with this issue of racism? Because the thing is that we keep looking for other people to solve a problem, mm-hmm. that we need to step up and deal with.
Yes, sir. I would say this thought, as you were putting that together, I was thinking this thought. Those who won't treat you right will not teach you right. So in other words, we have to learn how to teach ourselves. And I think that's one of the things that we strive to do at the James Jackson Museum of African American History, is to provide at least the beginning context for us as a people to see some of where we came from in this world, some of the many things that we have been able to accomplish of a positive manner in this world, how much of what is viewed to have emanated out of the European subcontinent actually is something that originated on the African continent, and in truth was, we'll say, research, or however you want to put it, and put it into a white European way of saying that they are the ones that invented this and they are the ones that invented that, when in many cases that's just not the truth. And I would say that as we talk about the truth, the true history of this entire planet, in particular what's going on in this country, really doesn't hardly ever be told. And whatever little remnants that we have right now, there are many efforts that are attempting to take whatever little remnants of truth.
Remnants is a great word.
Sir?
I said remnants, crumbs, if you will, yes, that we get.
So in truth, I would say for us as a people, what we should be finding, we should be going on our own independent study of who we are. And I would say there are many, many Black authors, there are many authors who seek to tell us the truth. And if you want to learn the truth, don't go to those who have kept you in servitude. Don't go to those who have kept you under their foot and under their thumb all these years to learn about who we are, because they have taught us the inferior form of who we are in such a way that we're in the position that we're in right down to this day. So therefore, I think that we should be found on an independent course of education, a course of education that will begin to put truth in front of our eyes so that we can learn actually who we are and whose we are.
Mm-hmm.
And along those lines, we can begin to make the steps that are necessary for us to be able to survive in this world, and not only to survive, but to prosper in this world. So I guess that's kind of the way I would put that, brother.
What do you say to people that don't look like us? This is not a message of hate. This is a message about how we need to, you need to get educated. What are you afraid of? And the thing is that we're not trying to ask for a hand out. We're just looking for equality. So yes. What do you say to people? This is not a message. You know, this is not one of them sexy messages that we're going to get a whole bunch of views and likes and stuff like that, because people are too scared of the truth.
Mm-hmm. 100% right, brother. I look at, when I hear that being said, what I look at is what we put in the back of the final call. The first thing it says is we want freedom. We want a full and complete freedom. We want justice. We've never really seen justice in this country. We want equal justice under the law. We want justice applied equally to all, regardless of creed or class or color. We want equality of opportunity. We want equal membership in society with the best in civilized society. See, one of the things is that, and one of the reasons for the Million Man March was because our portrayal, not only in this country, but around the world, was taking on such a negative connotation that was one of the many reasons the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan called for a Million Man March. He called for it, but actually the call came from Almighty God. And he was looking at what had been done in 1963 in the March on Washington, and how that took place at the Lincoln Memorial on the National Mall. But if I remember correctly about that march, it basically had become co-opted and controlled by the United States government, because Black folks was told when to come in, how long to be there, and when to get out of town. The Million Man March, on the other hand, if memory serves me correctly, we set up everything in such a way, cooperation of the government in Washington, D.C., that we were going to be there on a Monday. Many, many, many Black men took the day off work that particular day in order to be there. So to me, the Million Man March is an example of independent thinking, independent action in such a way to help bring us together to become more united as a people, to become better as a people. And I, right down to this day, many people have, I know many people who have stated that being a part of the Million Man March and the legacy of the Million Man March helped change their lives in a very positive way and help them to move forward and do some very great things, not only for themselves, for their families, but for the community in which we live. So there's much, brother, that we can do. But we need to, as you said, we need to begin to do this for ourselves. We need to be those who teach us. We need to be those who help educate us. We need to be those, as the book talks about, how the father should turn their, we should turn to our children. Our children should turn to us, because too many times there is a distrust, a disrespect, or a dislike among our elders for our young, and among our young for our elders, because we need to begin to work together. Because if we don't, as those of the older generation, if we don't begin to reach out to our young and help them begin to be able to achieve whatever Almighty God has put in their hearts to be able to achieve, then this, the world that we live in, is going to get worse, it's going to get darker, and moving towards ceasing to exist. And I think that, yes, we must have hope. And I do have hope. I have hope that we as a people will be able to overcome the madness of white supremacy, the madness of racism, the evil, the terrorism that we have been suffering with down through all these years. And with the help of Almighty God, we'll be able to move onward and upward. Though it is going to be a very difficult path. It's going to be a very difficult path. But as it has been said, anything worth achieving is worth sacrifice. For things we need to do to get to those points and to move up, we need to be found doing it with the help of Almighty God.
And you just mentioned sacrifice. I look at it too as a love for your brother, your sister.
Yes, sir.
Is that we have to come out to educate even, you know, kids that maybe not under our roof, like you took me under your roof. But that needs to happen more, where people have to go out and educate. It's not a message of hate. It's a message of letting people know who you are. We're royalty. We come from a place where we were kings and queens, and we came from places where the education, and you look at inventions and all that kind of stuff, revolved from this nation. But yet, when we come over here, right now we come over here, it's denied.
We as a people, basically, in truth, we really, really, really help build this country, stabilize this country, help it move from almost nothing to the top of the world. And we don't get any, we don't get many benefits out of all of that labor. We don't get hardly any respect, individual respect here and there, but as a mass of people who have help put this country in the position that it's in, we really don't. At this point in time in my life, I'm not really looking for it. What I'm looking for is for us as a people to begin to move forward and move onward and move upward and be found trying to do the right thing. I have an opinion paper here right in front of me. I won't attempt to read it because I know we're almost out of time. It says, the opinion by Mr. Keith Owens, America walks a crooked path of lies about racism and who we are. And that kind of sums up what this is. America won't recognize the truth. This country will not recognize the truth. It wants to continue to live out these lies that they have perpetrated on not only us, but on themselves and on the world. And until such time that the truth is held up for what it really is, then there is not going to be a great deal of change. And the only change is going to come because that's the change that we manifest in ourselves. Almighty God helps those who help themselves. But if we don't move to help ourselves, then He's not going to do something for us if we're just sitting around a table with a plate and a fork waiting on that daily bread to drop down out of heaven. It don't work like that. We got to be found doing. We got to be found working. We have to be found sacrificing. We have to be found loving for one another. supposed to love for one another, but we love for ourselves. And that's one of the key things. I'm like Muhammad, when asked by Honorable Minister Farrakhan, what would be something that he would state that would kind of sum up his work. And the minister thought he was going to say something from the Bible or the Holy Quran. And he told him that basically the golden rule, do unto others as you have them do unto you. And if that was something that this entire world began to practice, a lot of the madness and the violence and the terrorism and the war that is being perpetrated on the world would not exist.
Wow. Hey, with that, we have to end. Brother William C. Muhammad, I want to thank you for being on the show. We're going to deal with this racism thing. And listen, if you have any questions, please call every call 231-727-5007. We will have other guests on. You know what? It's like that Band-Aid. Do you want to rip off slow or just you want it ripped off and the truth be told? Thank you so much, sir. Listen, Muskegon, go and sow a seed, like I say every week, into somebody's life. You never know who you might touch. Take care and God bless.